You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.
Hey.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
It's freezing.
Is it too cold in
here? Yeah, I'm too cold.
Sorry, to keep us awake.
Which
it is cold.
It's usually when we do our podcast, it's the opposite problem. We're sweating our ass
off. I lowered it.
Usually I can wring my underwear out at the end of it.
Nice. It is cold, but fuck it. Who cares?
Like, I'm literally shivering. But I guess you're right. It keeps you up.
And we need to be kept up.
I don't. I'm good.
You good?
I got 8 hours last night.
Nice.
How about you?
Fell asleep about 20 to 12. Woke up around 6 something. I was doing work at 7:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. I knocked out 2.5 hours worth of work this morning, which is key.
Yes.
Key for me.
Oh, that's the best feeling.
But I'm working every fucking day, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. When are you going to retire?
I can't for a while. I don't really care to retire. Yeah. Did we talk about this already?
I'm sure we have many times. But yeah, I don't think you would fare well in retirement. It's just not who you are. Right?
What would I do all day?
Exactly. Because you don't really have hobbies either.
I would find hobbies. There's things I can do. But I'd work out more.
You lived for almost 60 years. What do you mean you would find hobbies? It's like you know what you like when you don't like already.
Because I'm too busy now. So when I'm not busy, I want to spend time with you guys and mom.
Not a hobby.
Okay. But this is what I'm saying, how I choose to spend my time.
Yeah.
And
but you can't do that all day, every day.
No.
That would get annoying.
I get that. So what I'm saying is because I'm so busy and working so much that my limited time, I either want to relax a little bit or spend time with my close friends or my family. If I wasn't working, I would find things to do.
Your brain might open up to a whole new world of things.
There's plenty of things I would do. I would work out more. I might run more. I might ride my Harley. I probably would play golf maybe once a week. Just try, there's things I definitely could do.
You don't think after, like, I think for a month, that'd be really fun.
I think you get used to it.
For years? I don't know if I could do that.
Well, I'm still in my late 50s. That's like 30 is too much.
That's a lot.
And I also don't know if I can afford to at this point where just travel all the time with the way mom and I, our lifestyle, it just wouldn't be worth economically feasible.
It wouldn't make sense. Yeah.
So there are things I would do. It's just that it's not about wanting to retire. It's about having the time I get an hour and a half to watch TV. That's it. And nothing else.
Right. Like how nice would it be if you only had to work 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day?
Oh, I'm fine with even 5 hours a day.
Because then you can like do the work you want to do and you can still do the things outside of work. Where you're in the place where it's like, you don't have time to do anything outside of work, really.
Correct. You barely. And my mom keeps me so busy with plans. So I think if I could just work a little bit less, and it's, you know, the problem is, I was telling mom yesterday, the problem is it's hundreds and hundreds of emails a day, hundreds, and so many phone calls and meetings during the day. You can't get any work done unless you get in the office at 6 a.m. or you stay until 9 o'clock at night because.
Well, you just need help. I
do have help, but there's certain things as a lawyer that I need to do. Know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
At least my kind of
right.
firm.
Because people are.
Want me.
People are there for you.
And no, but there's things my associate does and the research and certain writing, whatever, but there's still certain things when it comes to court or bringing in the client or selling the client or speaking to them. It's me. Or doing an agreement in a certain way. It requires my creativity, my expertise.
Right. It's your brain that people are hiring.
That most lawyers don't get.
What do you mean?
Most lawyers are not as good. And they might miss the boat on certain things.
Right. Well, that's why people will hire you over
Correct.
Someone else.
Right. So that means
you need to show up.
Yes. And I like it, but but I have started, you know, ever since we've had this like stupid check fraud in my office, like it's so prevalent, this stuff. They take checks from the mail out of the envelope and they change a computerized checks and they take it and they wash the check and they change the name, but it looks exactly the same. Like you would think, like how can these laser printed checks that are typed and they do it and they cash it? And so now I've set up a whole different system that I'm trying to do more bill pay with directly through, which does make things easier. At least at nighttime, I'm not writing out bills and it's easy and a bank sends it. So I'm getting more into the 21st century, which you would be proud of.
Welcome.
I have no choice.
You're kind of getting into the 20th century with that.
I'm getting 19th century.
The 21st century is... Oh, no, the 21st century is the 2000s. Yeah.
Right.
The 20th century is the 1900s.
Hold
on. I realized that I didn't put the phone on airplane mode.
No problem. Why was that mean?
Just in case like someone calls, sometimes it'll interrupt the video.
Gotcha. So I think that what happens is not working isn't a choice. Is a choice where I don't really want to not work. I'm just saying it'd be nice to, but maybe one day when you come in, you can handle that shit if you come in. You don't have to make a decision now.
Oh, thanks. I know. I'd like to help out. I wish I could help you now, you know?
Yeah, but it would still require a lot of training from me to you.
Oh, no, that's right.
To see things so I can groom you. But it's funny, when I start grooming, that's what I would need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. I like it. I'm just working a little bit more than I would like to right now.
Yeah. I also think men really aren't supposed to, like, fully retire. I don't think it's beneficial to modern men's minds. Because we grow up all day, every day, you're like, you need a purpose. You need to go somewhere. You need to be accomplishing things. You need to have goals that are met to live a fulfilling and successful life, which I think is true. Regardless of if it's innate or it's conditioned, that's how it is. So then when you live 50, 60 years like that, doing that all day, every day, and then you just are done, you wither away.
Yeah, now, I'm being honest. I truly have zero desire to retire. Like, I have friends my age retiring. I wouldn't enjoy it. But maybe when I'm in my 70s or late 60s, like 10 years from now, I would say, I'm done. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe as you age, your brain also slows down. So you don't need that goal-oriented mind
or
motivation as much.
But I don't know. I mean, if you ever came into the practice, I can handle some complex stuff. You can do a lot of the other things, and I could...
If I let you.
No, but you would need me. And
that's what we'll tell you.
You know, I don't know. But I don't know. I'd be bored at home all day. And I can't get up at 10 o'clock. That's not me anyway. And how much can you, like, walk or work out?
Days are long when you don't have stuff to do.
And when you're young.
What do you mean?
Like, just in your 50s, retiring, that's young.
Oh, well, yeah. You wouldn't be. You have 2 years left in the 50s.
That's 3 years. But yes, I'm still in my 50s.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah. But no, it's just, not yet.
No. I don't even know how we got on that, but yeah, I don't think retirement would be, like, good for you.
And now the new thing I was telling Mom, because I'm so tired late in the day, you know, I used to go to bed around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I used to get up at, like, 6:30 or 6 o'clock. Now, by the end of the day, I'm so tired, it's by 11:30, I'm falling asleep, but I can't get more than 5.5 hours, so I'm up at 5-something, or, you know, 5:30, 5:15. That sucks,
but then you can get stuff done in the morning.
But I think what I'm doing is I'm going to get up early and just do what I got to do. Because by 11,
the morning's the best to accomplish.
By 11:30, I'm out, which never happens for me.
What do you mean you're out?
At nighttime.
Oh, 11:30 p.m.
I'm never that. It's usually 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. I like waking up early and getting things done before everyone else wakes up.
Yeah,
because then the day starts and I'm like, oh, my day's done.
You got very organized for the day.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, doing my schoolwork or something before everyone else is up and before I have before I have a schedule of stuff to do. It's great.
Yeah, so...
That's very old man of you to, like, not be able to sleep more than 5 hours.
I haven't for years. That's all I need. 5.5.
Yeah, which is crazy. I used to be a lot worse. I've gotten better with lack of sleep. Like, I used to need 8-9 hours or I wouldn't function. Now I can do 6 hours.
Mom could sleep 9 hours easily.
Bryce sleeps literally 10 to 12 hours every day.
Yeah, Mom gets good 9 hours.
Bryce literally sleeps minimum 10 hours every day.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know how.
He sleeps so long.
He's such a sloth.
It's crazy. Yeah. So yesterday, because you knew that the video was reposted, but we made a video in one of our later episodes, like a week or two ago.
What do you mean? One of the earlier episodes?
Yeah, one of our previous episodes, what I meant to say. Bryce was like, oh, there are more trees.
Yeah, the three of us were doing a podcast.
Yeah, and Bryce was like, there are more trees in Canada than there are stars in the universe. He meant galaxy. And I remember, if you listen to the whole episode,
he corrected himself.
I'm like, I think you mean galaxy because the universe is infinite and there's no way there's infinite trees. And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean the galaxy. But I clipped that. And then Hank Green, for those who know who Hank Green is, for those who don't, he's like a modern Bill Nye. He's a popular science YouTuber.
Schools use him.
Like, you'll watch his videos to, like, explain physics to you in a fun way, you know, like to a 12-year-old because he's fun to watch. He's that kind of a – but he's huge. We love Hank Green. But he reacted to that video and was like, shitting on Bryce. He was just like, this is so wrong.
But how cool is it though that like we get people like him or Ben Shapiro that will see our stuff and comment on it. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's cool and it's great and it's like fun that the internet can connect to everyone like that. But now he has 8 million followers on TikTok. And so all these people who watch his show have now been commenting on that video of ours. Like,
can you play the video?
Yeah. But they've been like destroying us, being like, wow, you guys are absolute morons. How could you ever? And I'm like,
people are fucking pathetic.
It's so annoying because I'm like, I want to say, I know I'm smarter than you. I want to comment every one of them. I know I'm way smarter than you.
But that's just people being fucking
all of
idiots.
These comments are like, wow, this is what's wrong with America. Everyone's so idiotic and stupid. This is common knowledge. And I'm like, really? The amount of trees in Canada is common knowledge?
Because he said he didn't even know. When he said it had, he said it had like 380 million or something, or billion. Trees. He goes, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So it's that common knowledge. It's You're a fucking idiot.
It's just so funny that people feel like empowered.
Right.
Because they're like, I heard him say it's right, so I know it's right, and I'm going to go to war over that.
People want to shit on people. It's no different when, before social media, Evel Knievel, you know Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
So when we grew up, Evel Knievel was the...
I'm like allergic to something.
So Evel Knievel was the big stuntman. And nobody wanted to see him succeed. They just want to see him crash. People want... It's like the reality TV. People want to see the train wrecks.
Yeah, I don't watch for the feel good. I watch for the... For the drama.
Correct. So this is the same shit with people.
Love is blind. Or love on the spectrum.
An opportunity to shit on people, but who gives a fuck?
It's just so funny that every single comment, I've gotten hundreds of comments in the last 24 hours about how stupid we are. And I'm like, really? Really?
Did you comment back at them?
Yeah. Oh, all of them. I'm keep commenting back, just like trying to destroy
them. But how funny when they go, the guy goes...
I'll play it if you want.
The guy goes, you took all the stars, the bad stars, and put it, and mother gave it to you. It's like, you nervous.
All right, wait,
like,
let's just play it. Let's just play it because you're butchering,
fucking it up.
You're butchering it. Hank Green.
It's hysterical that we made it.
It has 1.4 million views already, that video. It's his most viewed video in the last like 2 weeks.
You're welcome, Hank.
Yeah. We should get.
Does it work, this thing, the port?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Trees in Canada, then there are stars in the universe.
That's wrong. I don't even have to look it up, but I will.
Canada has roughly 318 billion trees?
That is more than I expected, but there are about 100 billion trillion stars in the universe that we can observe. And your mama took all the ugly ones and she shoved them all into one nerd.
There's more trees.
Okay, first of all, It was crazy. He only took a clip.
Yeah, because if you listen to the whole clip.
We corrected it.
Yeah, we did. We corrected it.
And second of all, he said 100 billion trillion stars.
Yeah.
Is that a number?
In the known universe. Yeah.
Is that a number? Billion trillion?
Yeah. It's 100 billion trillions.
Oh, that many.
Like 1 billion is 100,000 millions or whatever. So yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's like infinite. But now
look how cute he is.
If you go to our video of it.
There's more trees
in Canada. Like the top comment is, raise the price of podcast gear.
Yeah, idiot.
This is wildly incorrect. Someone said, the moment I found out this was incorrect, I delete the post, but that's just me.
Like, are these people,
are you serious?
How many cats do they have?
And then another person replied to that and said, that's just the world of podcasting. Being right is irrelevant. They want to replace journalists, but not have any accountability. Like, what?
Get a life.
What are you talking
people
about?
People get a fucking life.
And then this person said, they barely get any views, so this video being so smooth-brained might be their biggest video.
Really? Meanwhile, this guy's checking our site out.
It's unbelievable. Someone said, couldn't be more incorrect. Another person said, are there infinite numbers of trees in the room with us right now? I don't even know what that means.
They're pathetic. They need to get a life.
This person said, not even remotely close. There are 318 billion trees in Canada and up to 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. Equal to one septillion. I think... Like, someone commented, watch full vid, bud. Like, yeah, for real, idiot.
Fucking idiots.
This person said, oh, did I say I was the richest person in the world? I'm sorry, I meant in my house. I live with my cat.
Of course they do.
No, they're making fun of us. They're saying, like...
I know what they're saying.
It's just like, look at all the comments
of
people.
Wow, good, let it come.
Freaking out.
Need all to get of a life,
I'm
people.
Shocked this hasn't been deleted yet.
Are you serious?
Said. Yeah.
What's with people?
I commented on a bunch of them, but I'm not seeing the ones I commented on. This person said they should put podcast equipment behind licenses. This person said you should need a license to operate a podcast mic.
Oh, my God.
Someone said, man, people just pick up a microphone nowadays. It's like, guys, are you serious?
Get a
Who
life.
Cares?
Right. Get we're, a fucking life.
We didn't start the video by saying, we are scientists. There are more treats. Like, we're just people
and by
talking.
By the way, and if he and he says, I think, he just, yeah. he just and just, it was corrected.
We're just talking. Like,
that's all it is. It's no big deal. Retard.
This person said lead poisoning is serious. Like, we're like
yeah,
we're,
idiots.
It's insane. Look at all of them. It's wow. so funny.
You know what? It makes me happy. These people have no life.
Yeah.
Who would spend the time to comment on it?
I know, right?
I would never.
This person said, that statement made me really angry. Please don't say things like that. Why? Who cares?
You know who that is? That's the person that does that call to order. Call to order.
Yeah.
You know, one of those people.
And look, it just keeps going. So, I mean, I'm all for it, but it's just hilarious that people are so up in arms.
They have no life. Play the rest of our portion of it.
Whoever said that statement should be sentenced to go count every single star and then every single tree and let us know if they were right.
Okay, douchebag.
That's kind of what you said. Like, who counts all of them? Still, so many.
Wow.
Not everyone needs a podcast. Where do you get such wrong info and then spew it out here?
He didn't spew that. By the way, it shows you he just literally took it out of context. But
this
again,
person said, has that guy ever read a book? I knew this wasn't true by like second grade. Yeah,
they didn't
sure.
know. They, no one sure. knew it. They're full of shit.
Podcast equipment should be harder to buy than a firearm.
Wow.
Yeah. So the rest, did we not watch the rest? Here, I'll play you the rest of it. Yeah.
Canada, then there are stars in the universe.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
How do
I don't
you
know,
know
how.
That?
Google. No, I believe.
Google. How do you just figure that out?
Google it right
how
now.
Do you how figure do you that figure out? Give me a fucking break. I can make a conclusion too. You know, that's bullshit.
That how crazy is that? There's more trees in Canada. Not even in the world. In Canada.
Well, Canada is huge. And
most
it's full
trees
of trees.
In the world.
This is where I correct.
But the universe is never ending.
Imagine the guy counting that.
Do you mean the galaxy?
Oh,
the
I think I mean the galaxy, but still.
There's no end to the universe. So
imagine the person counting those trees.
They don't do that.
No, Dad, that's
math.
Not how it works.
They use math.
I know,
bro. Statistics.
Sorry, you corrected it. Done.
Also, like,
over.
We're clearly
and
just.
And total, what, a minute
we're
of a conversation?
We're just, like, talking.
We're just fucking around.
We're not being, like, we're about to give you truthful information. We're just shooting the shit.
Yeah, people are unreal. But I love people like that because those are all the idiots. This is exactly what I talk about.
I know.
That's why I say people are stupid. This is what our world runs on.
I know, but that's scary when, like, these.
Yes, that's why we need an island.
Like, I hate to say it, but I know for a fact, truthfully, I know that I am smarter than every single person that commented. Because they're commenting on a TikTok.
Correct.
You know, so like you can't, how smart are you if you're like, actually, this isn't true. Like, you're obviously not smart.
I've known this in second grade.
A smart person would just be like, I know this isn't true and just know it.
And
they wouldn't have to.
It's comedic like. It's comedic. Yeah. It's entertainment value. We're not, and again, you saw that it was corrected.
Yeah. But these people, like these people really
remember
are like,
when I
I'm
said,
smart.
Remember when I said flagellants instead of been something else?
What, yeah, we laughed about it.
That's exactly what I mean. It's just a mistake and we got corrected.
Yeah.
Idiots.
It's funny.
Idiots.
Yeah, but thanks,
I love it.
Thanks, Hank, for for doing that.
Love it. Yep. And he should thank us. He has a lot of views on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, bitch. All right, what's going on, Ronnie?
You mean move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
But not what's going on.
What's going on?
Let's see. Yeah, there's this article that I want to read, but we can read it towards the end. But
why?
I heard, because they're just other, like it's, I don't know. Like I feel like an end of the podcast.
Whatever you want to do, bro.
Because there's like a couple of stories, like interesting stories that I was looking up this week that I thought you'd find interesting. Do you remember when we were kids and they had that bodies exhibit? Where like they had the
yeah I didn't like it but good
why
I know it just didn't do anything for me but okay
but like remember that it was like
I remember
dead bodies that they would
all
showcase.
The muscles and the organs yep uh-huh.
right it turns out that the bodies that they used in like because those are real humans so they were people at some point
right
and like where are those bodies coming from like
we donate I thought
but when you like before that was a thing right like when it was first starting. You wouldn't be like, when I die, I want to go to the bodies exhibit.
But you can say, I donate for science.
Yeah. So that's a whole other world.
Okay.
But what this specific, it was a company that started this whole bodies thing. It turns out there was like these investigative journalists that went through and like sourced where they're getting these bodies from. They're coming from Chinese labor prisons. So they're political prisoners that in China, the Chinese government is like concentration camps. The Chinese government's rounding up people that they don't like, putting them in labor prisons. And then the ones that die, they're sending to the bodies exhibit. And us in America go into our local museum and are like, wow, look at that. And it's like
it's
someone
a little
who's
sick, isn't it?
A
sick?
Little.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow.
And it's still around. You can go and like you're looking at a political prisoner who was murdered in a concentration camp. And you're just like, and then they're making money off.
Where'd you get that information from?
Here, let's look it up. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. It is St. Patrick's Day season. You have to be ready for a woman to find your pot of gold, and you have to make sure that it's shiny and nice.
Well, if it's for St. Patrick's Day, don't they have a special razor that trims all the redheads? Oh, no, only joking.
All the snakes out of Ireland? You have to trim the snakes out of your bush.
No,
if just like St. Patrick took all the snakes out of
not
Ireland.
Not Irish, there's not snakes, there'd be worms.
That's small? A story of gotcha.
Okay, hey. Okay.
But Manscaped does have you covered with all their line of products. The Lawnmower 5.0, their latest trimmer for everywhere in your body. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. That thing is great.
Oh, you know what Manscaped has to make for St. Patrick's Day? They have to make a razor with a flask attached to it.
I don't know if you can say that. Okay, you can make that joke.
Okay.
But go to manscaped.com, check out their line of products. We love it over here. One of my friends literally texted me this morning that he got the Lawnmower 5.0, and he was like,
Game changer.
Dude. He said he's been using his old beard trimmer on his balls, and it would like pull and yank on his hair and all that stuff when he would go down. This one, not a problem. Literally texted me that this morning.
But I still think the best one is that little flat razor. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That gets you a really close
it's
shave.
Amazing.
The crop shaver, I think, is what
it's
called.
Yeah, it's great.
All their products are great. I used my weed whacker on my nose hairs the other day. It's great. My girlfriend actually said, she was like, you need to trim your nose hairs. Brought out the weed whacker right away.
You should never let it get to that point. You got to take care of your nose hairs. You're a hairy
it's
guy.
It's important.
No, you got your ears. I use it on. My nose, I use it on. My chest, I use it on. I clean down in the southern region. You know, it is a great product.
All their stuff is really great, and they're always changing, and they're always improving their products.
They're improving, 100%.
When you wouldn't even think they would be able to improve. So you're like, oh, mine already has a light. Now they're like, oh, the light's way bigger and covers way more of your area. You're like, oh, mine only charged for a couple hours. Now it stays charged for like over a week. They're great. So I would go to manscaped.com, use the code DADDYISSUES20, and you'll get 20% off your order.
Buy it.
And free shipping.
Just buy it.
Go check it all out. Once again, go to manscaped.com, use the code DADDYISSUES20, and you'll get 20% off your order and free shipping.
And you will thank us, I guarantee it.
Okay, this is from the BBC. This says, group of objectors who include doctors, lawyers, and scientists have called for the exhibition in Sydney to be shut down. They assert that it includes the bodies of executed Chinese inmates, including political prisoners. But the organizers of the bodies exhibit have strongly denied those allegations. They say that cadavers were legally provided by a medical university in China where hospitals had determined them to be, quote, unclaimed corpses. Yeah, sure. Right?
Yeah, good luck on that.
Just like how the COVID was
right.
Was not made alive. It was, quote, from a pangolin in a market out of that. Like, come on.
Yep.
So, yeah, it says in an open letter to the Australian politicians, the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China, well, so specific, says there is credible evidence that the bodies belong to executed prisoners and prisoners of conscience from China. We are astonished that visas and permits for bringing this exhibition into Australia were issued by the Australian government, given the lack of documentation and unethical and legal sourcing of each body.
It is weird that people want to see that.
I mean, they're cool. Well, that guy looks Chinese, by the way, this body.
100%.
Something about him.
It's morbid. I'm sorry, it's morbid.
The idea of the bodies exhibit as a whole is cool, but it's a whole process. So here's the other thing with it. It's called plastination, is like what they do to the body to make it preserve so that you can, you know, view it forever. It's not going to rot. apparently that process needs to take place like within an hour or two of the bodies the human dying. So it's like they can't be, this is what the people argued. They were like, they can't be unclaimed bodies from a hospital because it has to happen almost instantly. Like
when a hospital doesn't right away give it to, right?
No, of course not. And hospitals don't have this, a plastination facility in their building. So it's like, it just doesn't make sense logically that it's bodies from a hospital. This says, the plastination process can take up to a year for each body. It was invented by scientist Dr. Günther von Hagens. That sounds like a German Dr. Bond fucking villain.
No, it's the same guy like the
Dr. Bond.
Mangala.
I meant James Bond villain.
Yeah, okay.
The displays have been viewed by millions of people worldwide. Exhibitions by separate companies have been banned in France and Israel due to the ethical concerns over the display of bodies. This goes on to say that. But yeah, so it's... there's credible evidence. This is NPR talking about it. Origins of exhibited cadavers questioned. This is from the Guardian. Call to shut real bodies exhibition over fears it uses executed prisoners. It's crazy.
That's crazy. It's like a movie.
Yeah, and then we went and we were like watching. But like, think about it. If it was the other, you know, like if it was like Jewish prisoners from the concentration camps. Like, think about it when it relates to us. Like, yes, that would be.
But I'm thinking about it.
But that feels so much more like this is like, wow, that's crazy. But if there were like German kids who were looking at dead Jewish bodies from prisoner, I would be like, this is the worst thing in the world.
It's terrible.
So crazy. Yeah.
Terrible.
It's just a crazy
thing. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have gone. I mean, it was years ago, but I didn't like it anyway. I just didn't like it.
I think it's a cool thing. And like seeing the one with the womb, that's so disturbing when you really think about it. Like you see a dead fetus.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's cool to see how the body works. Like I think it's a good idea for a exhibit because you learn. Like when you're a kid and you look at that, you're like, wow, this is what the body is.
Crazy. But I don't put anything past anyone for a dollar for making a buck.
Yeah.
The corruption is just.
The whole donate your body to science is all corrupt. I watched a whole documentary on it about like
where does your money go for charities? Where does your body go when you're dead?
Right. And there are so many levels that go through it. Like your body gets just tossed around from like all over the place. They'll cut off one arm and send it here. They'll do this. They'll send your body to one school for a week and then it'll go to the next one. And people are cutting different parts.
There was a movie, the guy Bucky. Remember Buck from Captain America?
Oh yeah, where he killed the girl and sold her organs.
He was like a doctor.
Prey, I think it was called or something. It was called
Weird.
Whatever it was.
Weird. We kidnapped. That was a creepy and cringy movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you think that happens?
I'm sure that 100% people are sick. Like Hostel. You ever watch those?
But
I think people are fucking
illegal
crazy.
Organ harvesting.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Well, so there's two things there. There's one just like illegal organ harvesting to make money on like reselling the organ and putting them in someone's body. And then there's the other thing of like people just wanting to kill someone. Yeah, right? Like that's what Hostel is.
Right. But it was more than that. On the other one, Prey, whatever it's called.
That was they wanted to eat it. They wanted to eat the organs. We just learned in our criminal procedure class. There was a case in Germany where a guy put an ad in the newspaper and said, I want to eat human flesh.
A guy like that should be arrested, seriously, because something wrong taken off the streets.
He like put an ad, I want to eat human flesh if you want to be eaten, respond. He got like 500 responses.
Now what's wrong with that? Those
and
people?
He chose one, and what they didn't kill him. Him and this guy, they like cut off a part of him, and then the two of them ate that part for dinner. And that like...
Okay, it's disgusting.
Crazy.
Okay, the people that replied and the person put the ad in should be off the streets. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
What's with people?
It's bizarre.
These are voters.
Well, that's Germany. They're weird in Germany.
No,
Germans are weird.
What?
Okay. I was going to say something before we went on that. I forget.
I'm
trying to think.
Something's seriously wrong. You ever watch?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You ever watch these fetish, these things on TV? You ever? It used to be a fetish show, whatever it was. Like there was a guy that would pick up roadkill.
Oh, like My Strange Addiction, that
yes.
kind of stuff?
The one guy would pick up roadkill all the time and eat it. Another person collected all kinds of deer poop.
Deer,
yeah. What I
you said dare poop.
Yeah, I dare to dare poop. Dare poop. Another person had would what was it with like drink their own urine or something?
Yeah, people are fucked up. The human brain's crazy.
My Weird Addiction is whatever.
I think My Strange Addiction on TLC.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, people are insane. What were we, after Bodies, then we were talking about organ harvesting. Oh, fuck, I had another cool story or thing. It was right before I brought up the cannibal guy. I don't remember. Hostile, killing people.
Do you think people want to do that and kill whatever? And you said a guy got arrested?
Yeah.
That Germany guy?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there are elite, like, high value where you spend a lot of money and you can go
because
like,
you
want to
be and people are fucking narcissistic crazy fucks that get the high. What about the people like that live with those sex dolls and they just that's their partner? People are crazy.
Well, that's like that's sad. That's like something's wrong in your brain.
Crazy.
People are crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Crazy and this social media, the internet makes them even crazier.
Because they can all find each other. And you're exposed to crazy stuff early.
Exposed to it, so therefore the shock value. And it's crazy.
Yeah, the human brain is pretty fucked up.
People are fucked up.
Yeah, but I also think, like, people, like, everyone could have the proclivity to be fucked up. I think you just keep it in check well.
I know, we've had this conversation over and over again, but there's something where you just, you know you're not going to, like, eat a person, or you know you're not going to kill a person, or you're not going to drink pee, or...
Yeah, but you're not going to do that until you have to. Because people do it. Like, there was that whole...
Stop playing with it.
This?
The foot thing, because you're going to... There you go. Go ahead.
Like that movie that just came out on Netflix. It's a true story about in the 80s, the Olympic soccer team from Chile or something. It was a true story. They crashed.
It's called Alive or something.
No, Society in the Snow is what the movie's called. But it's a true story. No,
it's called. There was a movie prior to it. It's a remake.
And
the movie.
They ate each other.
Pull up Alive. I think it's called Alive. Yeah.
No, Alive is the show on Discovery where they survive in the Alaska. That's Alive.
No, I think there's a movie too. I could be type Alive the movie. It's about the soccer team in the winter. It's a true story.
Yeah, this is the same.
They have three makes.
Yeah. So they just remade it.
Yeah, and it's a good movie. You were like the
Uruguayan rugby team. I told you. That's what it was. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay.
And they like ended up all eating each other.
You understand they only ate the people that were dead. But that's different than what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Your ability to survive is very different. There's no judgment in those people. They have to live with that their whole
survival.
Life. They had to live with that they ate their cannibalists, but not true cannibalists.
Right.
But
they had to do it out of survival. So where the German guy is choosing.
They're the ones that have to live with it and have that horror. They live with that tragedy their whole life.
Yes.
The other people are sick. Right. Fuck motherfuckers.
Yeah. They like they
that shouldn't walk this earth. They really shouldn't. These are bad people.
Well, there's something wrong in their brain.
They know. If you're willing to do that, you're willing to do even crazier things. You're not stable.
Possibly.
You're not stable. I don't want you walking this earth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a new movie that came out. They did a remake.
Society of the Snow. It's on Netflix. It's supposed to be very good.
You should watch I'm Alive. It was great, by the way.
Or the new one. Why wouldn't I watch the new one?
Why not watch the old one, too?
Or, yeah.
You like that.
Yeah. That would suck to crash land in the mountains. In the Andes Mountains. Like, they were in the... high mountains.
How'd they get rescued? I don't remember.
Me neither. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
A lot on that.
Yeah, this is the whole story. Oh, Ethan Hawke was in it. He plays the main guy. Fuck. There was another thing that I wanted to bring up about that, but whatever. I lost it. It is what it is.
Haven't seen you wear that watch in a while.
I love this watch.
Nice.
I want to get the other strap, but maybe I'll buy like a...
How much is the strap?
Too much. It's
because
it's stainless. Like $800.
So you just got $800 when you buy it.
No, but like I'll maybe buy like a $50 fake one, you know?
No,
but it's stainless.
You do not buy a fake Cartier band, stainless band to go on a real Cartier. Absolutely do not do that.
Maybe
are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
No. Do not get it.
Okay.
You get the real one, you order and you get the fucking real one.
I mean, I'm happy with
it does change. It makes it much more substantial and manly.
Yeah. It changes it. It just becomes a different watch. Okay. So Another thing that I was looking into this week that I think you'll find interesting. So a couple hundred years ago, I don't remember the exact details, and we can look it up because we'll want to look up the details. So when Jesus, this is like a religious thing, but there's science behind it, which is what makes it interesting. So when Jesus died and then was resurrected and then died again, they like wrapped him in a bot, in a...
Like a mummy.
No, they like a swaddle, like a baby swaddle. This is like in the stories, right? That they wrapped him in a blanket, if you will. A shroud is what they called it.
Okay.
And that was what he was ultimately buried with. Or that was maybe the first time before he was resurrected. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Before he was resurrected, he was wrapped in the shroud and buried by his apostles. That was just like people, it was just an idea of this thing, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant or something, where it's like, oh, there's this magical item that exists in the world. And then a couple hundred years ago in Turin, Italy, this small church was like, we have the shroud. They were like, we have it. And so now it's called the Shroud of Turin because they found it in Turin. And they don't know how they found it or whatever.
And how do they know it's really his? Okay, his?
So the reason why back then they were like, this is the shroud is because...
The initials were monogrammed on it?
There's an imprint on the blanket of a human. I'll show you a picture of it. Like, if I held the blanket up to you, it's like there's a you can see a human figure burned into the blanket. So then, like, over the last 100 years or so, people were like, it's a scam. Right. What's the word?
Ploy or whatever.
Yeah, like someone, it's just a fraud.
Right, okay.
But they've been doing recent scientific, like, analyzing on it. And the findings that have come out, like, as of right now, they were like, there's no way that this image could have possibly been created at the time when this blanket was discovered. Scientists say this. They're like, they would have had to have technology that we don't have now. Like, you would have had to electrically implement this image. I'll show you the image.
So what's it from? What's the image from?
They do not know. And it's a human. I'll show you. It's a human's face. A clear face.
But I don't get it. If you put a blanket on me, you're not going to have a face.
No, but the idea is... It was God, like, if you believe that Jesus was God, and then, who knows, as he was resurrected, his image was imprinted into this blanket because he was in it or whatever. Okay. I'll show you the image, and then we can read some of, like, the science that's, we can read some of the articles that are going on, but, like, look, if I show you this picture, so this is the blanket. It's three. These are three different pictures of it. I mean, that's clearly a human body, right?
100%, but I don't understand.
You can see the hands. You can see a clear face.
100%.
And so these lines are where it's folded. It's been folded up over the years. And, like, so that clearly is a body. But at first you'd be like, oh, they just painted a body on there. And then we're like, that's Jesus. But I'll show you. Let's read some of the, let's go to news. Because there's, like, modern stuff. Here, this is from PBS.
Okay.
Let's see. In 1988, an international team of scientific... This was recently published, this article, but it's talking about 1988. International team of scientific experts performed radiocarbon dating on the Shroud of Turin. The results showed that the famous cloth did not date back to the time of Christ's crucifixion. In fact, the cloth seemed to have been manufactured between 1260 and 1390. The team concluded that the shroud was nothing more than a medieval hoax. In the years since the stunning announcement, shroud experts and other investigators have called into question the accuracy of that dating. Some have argued that the damage... No, dating.
Oh, okay.
Some have argued that the damage to the border of the shroud in December 1953, or 1532, I don't know why I read that, during a fire in the chapel might in some way have changed the chemical composition of the cloth and skewed the testing results. Professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Texas also doubts the radiocarbon dating finding. He blames microbes. Despite the lingering controversy, the basic science behind radiocarbon dating is disalarmingly straightforward. Let's see. I mean, now it keeps going on talking about this. I want to see. They suspect the bacteria responsible. Oh, the guy from whatever it's called, UT, says, suspects that the bacteria are responsible for the shroud's ethereal image. His idea is that as the crucified man was dying, bacteria such as the common skin microbe Staphylococcus would have colonized and multiplied in the bloody wounds, creating a thin layer called a biofilm. A biofilm can soak up water like a sponge. After the man died and his body was washed, the biofilm would have been absorbed, would have absorbed water and become extremely sticky. When the burial shroud was later placed over the body, it would have adhered fast, allowing the transfer of the microbes to the fibers of the cloth. That's his thought. Interesting.
Interesting.
Over time, the degradation of microbes would have produced a faint yellow imprint. I want to
I mean, it's very vivid, the detail on that.
Extremely, right? Like, it's a bizarre image. When you look at it, you're like, bizarre. The fact that the face is so detailed. It's a full face.
But what's the star on top of his forehead? What is he from?
I don't know.
The Avengers?
That just looks like cracks to me. Like, it looks like it's the same as that or that. Or like that. That looks like a water stain to me. Let me see, because they were just talking. This is from 1 week ago. From the Catholic diocese, which is obviously going to be biased. But
jinx, Bronny.
Scientists have studied the shroud since the early 1900s. While some claim the cloth is a forgery, many others point to a host of evidences otherwise. National Geographic magazine featured the photos in 1978. In 2014, Dr. Jackson founded the American Confraternity of the Holy Shroud to help people learn about it. Now, I want to know what more of the science is. This is from 4 weeks ago. $1 million challenge to replicate shroud is expanded to U.S. All you have to do is recreate a photograph.
I want to see the photo above it. That's it right there? That looks looks like it. What's the caption underneath it say?
Yeah, pictured with the shroud. So this must be it under a specific.
Right.
Hold on, let's see. So this says, this is from losalamosnationallaboratory.gov. Los Alamos is out in California where like NASA does a lot of their stuff. So this is from April 2023 from losalamos.gov.
Okay.
This is an article of theirs from that time. It says, March 24th, 1976, is the Holy Shroud of Turin a centuries-old relic bearing the image of a crucified man, the burial cloth of Christ, or the greatest hoax in the history of Christianity? Space-age scientists are pleading for a chance to find out when the shroud, jealously guarded for 400 years in a Roman Catholic chapel, is tentatively scheduled for a rare public display. So it says here, Roger Morris, I guess he works for this, and his team had only been given a few hours to analyze the fabric, and the pace was frantic. In the dim light of the 15th century cathedral, he quickly scribbled notes, spectrum 28 position, bloodline centered on whatever. Morris, a physicist at Los Alamos Laboratory, couldn't help but feel a little nervous. After all, this was the stuff of science fiction. Let's see, where does it say? So these are his notes. I want to know why pictures, because I guess it's like a photo negative, because in this article they're saying, all you have to do is recreate a photographic negative image, and it has to have holographic features so that when it's rendered as a three-dimensional profile based on the intensity of the shading it should produce. Why is that the case? The British Museum supervised a carbon-14 dating of the shroud in Turin. In Washington, at a presentation on February 8th, Rolf said that the labs agreed on a protocol which would include taking samples from several different parts. I don't know. There's so much in here to look through.
Yeah, it's way too long, people. Sorry. Move your foot from the rug.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's... I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one knows. It's just... It's interesting when you look at that... When you look at that picture, it's a pretty striking picture, and it's just weird that it's like... It's not painted on. It's a part of the thing.
Which I also find that very weird, that's part of that detail.
Right. That's what's weird about it. Like, I wouldn't know how to make that. Even though we were trying to forge, you know, I wouldn't know how to make that at all. That just reminded me, there's a book from I forget what it's called. There's a book that people found in like the year 1400. Very detailed, intricate book. There's only one of them. And it's like 1,000 pages, has all these intricate details and drawings and like scientific drawings of these animals and insects that don't exist, never have existed. The whole book is written in a language that does not, there's no language that it's comparable to at all. And there's only one of this book.
So what is that? What
and
do you think?
People were like, forever, it's been a mystery. People now have come to the conclusion, they're like, it's just
one, gibberish?
No, like a person just like made it for fun, like as a hoax. But then other people are like, it's way too detailed and way too like how could even you, how could you write 1,000 pages of a fake language? And the language makes sense. It's like certain words repeated. It's not just like you writing random stuff.
Letters.
Like it has a grammatical flow to it. I forget what that's called. Let's see. Old book. How would I look this up?
But listen, there's hoax today with everything with technology and social media. And
yeah, but why this can't is before.
It, but there, why can't it be hoax? People doing it just in the format of written document. Right? No, that's the medium. I think people, that's what they do. They create
hoax. But like, do people create hoaxes nowadays? And also, I think it was like just in someone's library. Like it wasn't public. So it's like if you were going to make a hoax.
Right, so what does it mean? What does that mean to you?
Let me find it. Let me find what it is. It's called fuck.
It's called fuck?
Now, how would I look this up even? Old fraud book mystery. Medieval times. Medieval, because I think it's from that time. I'm going to find this.
You're not going to find it, Bronnie.
No, I can. It's famous. I'm just not doing the right words. Let's see. Let me try in other words. Old language. I don't know. I'm going to find this. Old language. Maybe if I just ask it like a question. Oh, let me ask ChatGPT. Maybe that'll know. Or should I ask ChatGPT to give us the science behind the Shroud of Turin? Is the Shroud of Turin real? Let's see. Scientific studies, yeah, so it's other studies that focus on the characteristics of the image of itself, such as the depth of the coloration of the fibers, the lack of directionality, and the details of the wounds and bloodstains, which some argue could not have been produced by an artist. There are also claims about the presence of pollen grains and images of flowers on the shroud that supposedly match those found in the Holy Land. Critics argue that none of these conclusively, yeah, so I mean, it doesn't really say anything. Let's see if I'll ask it this, hold on. Do you know about the
book? What are you typing? Nothing. You type in, oh, underneath, okay.
That has its own, it's so hard to type with one finger, language and depictions of plants and animals that don't exist. People think it's a hoax. People think it's a hoax. Okay, let's see if it'll give me the answer. Yes, you're, got it, yes.
What?
Voynich manuscript. Yes, you're referring to the Voynich manuscript, a mysterious and enigmatic medieval codex that has baffled researchers and cryptographers for centuries. The book is named after Wilfred Voynich, a Polish book dealer who acquired it in 1912. The Voynich manuscript is written in an unknown script and language that no one has been able to decipher or translate, despite numerous attempts by linguists, cryptographers, and computer programs. The illustrations in the manuscript depict a range of subjects, including unfamiliar plants that don't match any known species, astronomical charts with unknown constellations, and strange human figures in enigmatic contexts, as well as sections that appear to represent biological and pharmaceutical topics. Due to the book's obscure content and the inability to decode its text, some people have speculated that the manuscript could be a hoax or a meaningless sequence of symbols. However, others believe it may contain genuine knowledge of information that was intended to be understood by a very small audience, or that it might represent a lost language. The true origin, purpose, and meaning of the manuscript remain unknown, and it continues to be a subject of study and fascination in the field of history, cryptography, and linguists. So, it got it for me. Voynich.
Interesting.
Let's see. I'll show you some pictures of it. It's very weird, the pictures. So here's like the language. It looks like Lord of the Rings language, like elf language.
And the drawings, interesting.
Yeah, and there's drawings, like here's people. in a vat of like, they're kind of look people
like in the grass.
Here's a plant. Look at this plant. Doesn't look like any plant I've seen. But then it's like, what is this language? And the book's huge. Here's more. I don't know what these are. Huh. Root systems, it looks like, or something. That looks like some creatures. Oh, no, that's the roots of this plant. But yeah, people have been trying to decode it for years. And
one book.
And they just don't know. No one's been, here, look, this is Yale University. Cipher manuscript. Like, Yale is trying to decipher it. This is the Voynich manuscript, 2016, the first authorized copy of this mysterious, much speculated upon, one-of-a-kind, centuries-old puzzle. Here's a whole video from Yale about it. What we know about, some of what we know about the manuscript. The book's parchment has been dated to the early 15th century.
Look at the colors, amazing, right?
Yeah, for being that old, too. It was made from at least 14 full cow skins. They make it creepy with this music. The ink ingredients may have included vitriol, oak, gall nuts, eggs, fruit peels, and wine. The manuscript's current cover is the Renaissance equivalent of a paperback.
She's touching with her hands.
It may have been added to disguise the manuscript.
Why are they not gloves?
She probably washed her hands.
No, you need fucking gloves.
The manuscript is donated to Yale University's Rare Book and Manuscript Library.
Isn't that weird you're not wearing white gloves?
You would think they would, yeah. Okay, so they didn't tell us what they know about it.
Weird.
But even the fact that Yale is studying it, it's like...
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
But they'll never be able to know if it's true or not if that's the only... That language. Doesn't matter what they could. It's just going to be a guess.
No, but Dad, we didn't up until we found the Rosetta Stone in like the 1880s or whatever, whenever it was. I should probably look up the exact
year. What is the Rosetta Stone?
Well, that's what I'm about to tell you. Rosetta Stone. Let's see the year they found it.
It's a big rock?
Yeah, but I'll tell you. Okay, so they discovered it in 1799. So, 1800. Before, so they found it in Egypt. What it is, it's a huge rock. I've seen it in person multiple times. It's in London. It's a big rock. And it has three separate, so see, you can see here, three separate parts.
I see it.
Each is in a different language. One is in Egyptian, ancient Egyptian. One, like hieroglyphics. One is in... Aramaic or Phoenician? Let's see. And then the other one is in Greek. Let me find out the third. Three variations of a decree. In the top and middle text are in ancient Egyptian using hieroglyphics and demotic scripts, while the bottom is in ancient Greek. So what it was before we found this, you know when you look at ancient Egyptian stuff and they have all the hieroglyphics?
Caves and everything, yeah.
Before we found this, we had no idea what any of it meant at all. None of it. Because we had no, like, we had no cipher.
Basic.
But we knew what words ancient Greek, because they would, like, write down dictionaries. So we had Greek dictionaries. This word means this. This word means this for Greek. So then when they found this stone, it was the same message just written in different languages. Like when you go to the airport and you see.
Yep, yep, yep.
So they
yep.
were able to say, okay, so wait, if this means this in Greek, we know what that means, then this must mean that in Egyptian. So they were able to like get a
reverse engineer.
Yeah.
Where'd they find this Rosetta Stone?
In Egypt, buried somewhere.
That interesting. How cool
but
is
so
that?
But so for 1,000 years, people were looking at hieroglyphics and were like, wow, these are just pictures to us. But then they found this one rock and it unlocked an entire language.
So you never, there's something we can unlock
right,
that
so you
book.
Never know. We might just be missing one little thing and could you be. Never know.
You're an optimistic person, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, all you need is one thing.
That's cool to find the Rosetta Stone.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, it literally, we've learned most of our knowledge about how ancient Egypt was because we were able to now read the hieroglyphs.
It's worth a lot of money, huh?
It's in the museum, in the British Museum.
You said you had an article you want to read?
Yeah. We're now like running out of time. It's a whole convo.
Oh, then I don't want to save it for now. I don't want to get
it. I'll save it for the next one.
We're basically done anyway.
I can get up a...
Daddy issues?
No, it's not.
Folly advice?
Not yeah, you always get it wrong. Always. Let's see. Did anyone else write in? Yeah, someone wrote in a couple days ago. Jackson. Hey, it's me again. Thank you for answering my question a few months ago on how to be there for my girlfriend. I don't remember.
Okay.
But you're welcome. This question pertains to my career. As a police officer and being the low man on the totem pole, I'm not going to get weekends off or first shift for a long time. So my question is, how do I best prioritize time with my family, girlfriend, and non-cop friends while I'm working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for the next few years for sure? And how do I keep what I see while at work from affecting me so I'm not taking it out on those around me? Thank you very much. If you're ever in Ohio or near Delaware, let me know. Also, I finished the police academy in April.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
First of all, we're not therapists. However.
Okay, but obviously that's the whole point of this.
That's a tough call. I have to tell you, I think.
Well, there are two questions in there.
Yeah. If it were me, I would talk to a police officer who's been doing it for 15 or 20 years and get their advice. Someone you know and you respect that has that's a family man, that's a father, a husband. Okay, and I would ask them their advice on what they look back and would do differently and what they would look back and would continue to do, learn from their mistakes, and follow in the footsteps. And what you see that you don't like that your superiors are doing, your colleagues, then you make sure you don't repeat that. But unfortunately, you're going to have a limited social life because your hours are very different than most people's.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about that.
And then I assume you get 2 days off, and those 2 days you get off, go out and make sure you make plans those nights. And as for what you... not to take home with you and things, what you see during the day. If you find it's an issue, you have to seek counseling through the police department and also privately to help you so it doesn't affect your personal life because you're in a tough position.
And that sucks that you, I mean, I guess there will always be overlap. Like you get home at 7 a.m. and then you'll have mornings with your wife, right? Like she'll wake up around 8. So you're not going to bed right when you get home. Like you know.
Right.
So you'll have mornings together, and then also you'll have
a reverse schedule.
You'll have evenings. You can wake up. You can go to bed at 10, wake up at 4 or 5, and then you can go out to dinner with all your friends
from
and
like
then
5 to 9, right?
Right, and then go into work. So that I mean, you're gonna have to get used to it, and your wife's gonna have to get used to it.
It's gonna be hard,
but girlfriend, whatever.
But you'll
girlfriend.
Get through it. But look, all the police officers start off. You pay your dues. You do it. You work hard, and you will get through it. If they can get through it, I'm sure you can get through it.
Well, cops forever have been doing
right.
it.
He'll survive.
Yeah, that sucks, but you're just going to have to
get used to it. I would ask somebody that you respect that's in the force that's older than you has been through and ask them their advice.
Yeah,
I'm the wrong person for that.
Yeah, we can't help too much.
But we're proud of you. Congratulations. Thank you for being police officer, especially in today's day and age. It's, you know, I respect you guys and support you guys, but unfortunately, it's very tough with today's day and age in our society, and the police are sort of controlled on what they can do and not do, so... thank you for doing that and taking on this tough job this time in the world we live in, right?
Yeah, we appreciate it.
All right, Ronnie, love you, everybody. Love take you care. Too. Be well.
You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see at their people are stupid.